Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim show today. We do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch, and you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Talk a bit about the earthquake, the tsunami, and the radiation that's being released over there from those nuclear reactors in Japan. It's an awesome disaster. There's no doubt about that. As I prophesied back in the 80s, in fact, I'm not too sure that this prophecy didn't come in the early 80s, and when I say prophecy, what I'm talking about is vision. that I know that each and every time that I've been in California, I've told the people there that the best thing they can do is to, that's along the coastline, is to sell while they still have something that's sellable, something that, you know, those people in Japan that got hit with a tsunami, they don't have anything to sell. It's gone. But I've told them, I said, you need to sell while you've got something to sell. You need to move inland because there is going to be an earthquake that's going to hit of that magnitude, maybe greater. I have no idea. Didn't see the Richter scale when the vision came. I just saw a huge chunk of the state of California falling off into the Pacific Ocean. Thousands upon thousands of people were dead. The president declared a national day of mourning for the West Coast. And it was the fact that there'd be a tsunami. Well, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I didn't see the tsunami, but I don't. With something that great, there's bound to be that rush of water that's going to come. And, you know, the report was that there was a ditch that was carved in the bottom of the ocean, 50 mile wide and 100 mile long, or 150 mile long, maybe it was. But and you can imagine what must have taken place with that opening up like that. And, bless God, it's just tragedy. Now, you know, we are trying to prepare all of you for the coming events. I don't have any idea in the world, or didn't have, that we had so many nuclear power stations here in the United States. I didn't realize that. And I'm not sure, but I think that went over, I think it was 170 or somewhere around that. Now, I could very easily stand corrected about that. But the fact is there's a lot of them. What you know, is going to take place if that's released? Well, we're seeing a little bit of what is going on there in Japan. I don't think that bless God, that as I've always believed, it's preparation. You know, for people that had preparation. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, in the middle of that tsunami, that 30, 33-foot wave that came on shore, I don't know what kind of preparation you could have for something like that. But I will say this, that bless God, we know enough now to understand that if there's you live by water on the coastlines, that the thing that you need to do is if there's a shake that's that hard, you need to immediately head for high ground. That's for a fact. Now, we have in our ministers' meeting, which was last night, that we hold on the Internet webcast, we discussed, and we're going to further discuss, things that people should be definitely putting up. Even those of us that live here in the Midwest with these nuclear reactors, and you don't know when something can go wrong with that. As I've been very, very forward about saying, the government sure isn't going to tell us. I don't doubt that the Japanese government isn't lying to the people over there. The thing that they try to do is hold down panic, and I can understand that. But on the other end of this thing, you have to understand that, you know, we are the people, and we deserve to know. Unfortunately, that's never been the case. Don't think it will be with any kind of disaster that's going to come. But anyway, I'm quite certain, and we're going to put up on the website here in time when we get this this thing worked out. We have on board I believe this gal's a chemical engineer, and she's researched and done some research about the stuff that you can take. Like they're talking about, which I would be better than what the people are taking as they're even in Japan itself. So stay tuned. We'll get that all up in the Internet, and we will advise you that it's up there. And there's things, such things that you can get that can prepare you if in case that happens. Now, I saw a great earthquake that will take place here in this where I live, this part of the Mississippi Valley. It will be a devastating earthquake. It will come here, And there's other places that's going to, you know, that's going to happen. I know when I was in Milwaukee, I saw water downtown in the streets in Milwaukee. One of the fellows last night when we were talking, I talked about the fact that an earthquake in that area could even cause a tsunami to appear out of, in this case, Lake Michigan. And I didn't see the reason behind the water being there. I just saw water in that area. We are in, as I have said over and over again, we are simply at the beginning of the time of sorrows. And it's something, and it is something. But folks, you want to thank God that you've got a hold of this thing of being an Ephraimite, because Ephraim will be saved out of all this. It's the promise of God, and God will fulfill what He has spoken. And so, anyway, as I said, stay tuned. We'll we will try to get that up as soon as possible. Precautionary measures as how to, you know, cover your windows and doors in case there is a tragedy that take place right in and around where you live with one of these nuclear reactors. It can happen. They were saying here that I think our reactors here in the States will stand up to a 7 point, I don't know whether it was 6 or what it was, earthquake. Well, that was a 9.0. Theirs was to stand up, I forget at what, you know, amount of, on the Richter scale that would be that their reactors would take, and it went past that. So, yeah, as I keep saying, if it doesn't come by, you know, one thing, it'll come by another and another and another and another. And there's more, right now there is more happening. I have heard scientists say there's more earthquakes, volcano eruptions, droughts, the floods, hurricanes of this and that, and you know, the tornadoes that we get through here than ever before. And these things are going to increase, and they're going to keep on increasing. And the judgment of God is here upon this earth. So I don't doubt. And you know, I think too that as we go further and further into all this, again, the key is preparation. Be prepared, brothers and sisters. Don't be one of the five virgins that you know, didn't have oil in their lamps. Be prepared, and that's over and over and over again. We'll get that up on the website so that you can, those of you that are interested in preparation for these kind of things, you can do it. And I'm not, this isn't something for people to panic about. It's not something that, you know, when these visions, when the old prophets had visions, well, dear God in heaven, some of those visions still today haven't come to pass. All right? So it isn't like the fact that I'm saying that, you know, you need to panic and rush out here and do this and do that. Again, God will take care of you, but you're going to have to be prepared. And we want you to have every opportunity to prepare yourselves for the things that are coming to the face of this earth, because they surely come. And I don't, you know, as I sit and just absolutely and looking at all that devastation, it's just one minute they were alive, the next minute they were dead. And so it will be. As I said, this is not something that's a one-time whatever. These things are going to take place. The earthquake out in the Pacific there off the California coast, that earthquake is due. I heard some scientists talking about that. That I think they said the last big quake ever 300 years or something like that. And so they know that at any time. Well, I think the Japanese, you know, they built those big skyscrapers. I'll get that word right in a minute to withstand that kind of a shaking, and they withstood it. So did we do the same here in the States? No, not at all. And there's going to be a lot of people going to die because of the fact that, again, we did not prepare for those types of things. Well, so much for that. And, again, bless God. God's God. He's on the throne. Nothing happens, at least it comes through His hands. And as I've said many times, this is the judgment of Almighty God. I think it was the mayor of Tokyo or a high official there in Japan made the statement the reason that happened was because of their greed, that God had sent that judgment because of the greed of the nation of Japan. And I thought, boy, if that was right, America's in big time trouble. Of course, we're in big time trouble anyway. If you haven't heard the prophecy, it's on the front page of the website that I gave back in the 80s. You need to go there and read that again, because it's here. It's not only at the doorstep, it's here. So, well, today I want to talk about something that a lot of people is not aware of at all, and it's transferal spirits and how spirits are transferred one to another, a group. You are a product of your home, of your church, of your society. You're a product of that. Now, when you talk about being a product of that, it means you will produce that which you have grown up with, okay? If your family's, atheist, a good chance you'll be an atheist. If your family's Buddhist, and on down the line with all the religions, a spirit of religion is just that, is a spirit. It is a spirit that is transferred, and readily so and easily, from generation to generation. Poverty is a spirit that it has to be broken. I know when I was in Africa, in an area that was so poor, and not that most of Africa isn't in the outer regions, because they are, but this particular area was so poor. And as I was there ministering, the Lord spoke to me and told me to break the spirit of poverty off of that land and off those people. Well, I did so, and within 3 years, they had prospered, and the crops had produced like they had never produced, and they had work, and they were making some money for a change, okay? And so watching all this let me even know further what I understood about spirit and how spirit causes everything that takes place. It's a spiritual matter, even though we're seeing it as through the flesh, it's still spirit. Now, one time I was, when I was young in the ministry, very young, probably within the first 2 years maybe, I was ministering in a church, and bless God, I had a healing line, and people got in the healing line, and I noticed that, bless God, that I was seeing a spirit of lust. One after another, after another, after another, after another. And I finally stopped, and I turned around, and I said to the Lord, when I said turned around, if you ever see me turn my back to the congregation, the Lord and I are having a conversation. And so anyway, I said, what is this all about? I said, the spirit of lust. I said, what's it all about? And he spoke to me and said to me, he said, look, and I looked, and the pastor was sitting there. And I saw the spirit of lust upon him. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he has transferred that spirit through the laying on of hands to these other people. And I thought, my goodness, practically everybody, 99.9% anyway, that was in that church that day had a spirit of lust. And that set me on a road of fasting and praying to have understanding about transferal of spirit. I've often told people, you just don't know how dangerous it is to start letting people lay hands on you, because you're liable to take home something that you didn't come in with. Okay? You're liable, and it happens that way. There's other ways for that to happen also, but I'm just talking about this thing of laying on hands. You know, there's just a lot of people, they just go to every service they can get to get somebody to lay hands on them. And that's dangerous. You really, really, really need to trust that person that's laying hands on you. That bless God that you're not again taking home some extra baggage that you didn't, you know, that you didn't bring through the door. So in all of the years, I have watched as people transfer spirit. We talked about a spirit of fear and how that gets transferred. That gets transferred all over the place. One person fears, it begins to, you know, a lot of people fear. Well, I want to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is where I want to start. It says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord." So he talks about a spirit, a soul, and a body, okay, that is blameless, all right? Now in Exodus 34:7 says, "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty." Now, this is important that you understand this, and I've said it at different times and points of some of the sermons that I've given. But the fact is that even though you are forgiven, bless God, let me tell you something: you're not cleared. Okay, you're going to pay the price for that sin. A few preachers, I'm not saying that never anyone has not said that besides this prophet, but there's been few preachers, I would imagine, on the face of this earth that even understands that. That's the reason, again, we're desperately have a goal of bringing you to a place of holiness and righteousness, to the place where you quit spending so much time. Yes, you're forgiven for the sin, but you're at the same time, that you're spending time having to do what? Pay for the sin. So anyway, you want to be sure. And, of course, we understand that, and I used that, I think, here not very long ago, 34:7, talking about the fact that visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and to the third and fourth generation. So this can be passed down? Yes, it can be. Corinthians 2:11-14, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him?" Okay, so we know that, bless God, we're flesh and blood. We have a soul. We have a spirit. The real you is a spirit, okay? That part of you is going to live for eternity, came from eternity, and will return to eternity. The key is, where are you going to spend the eternity with the Lord God, or you're going to burn in hell? And that's pretty frank, but it's the truth. Now, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows everything. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So we can know those things. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And that's so important, okay? "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And you know, that's where a lot of people seem to have themselves in such a bind today. They're trying to go out here and become spiritual, when bless God that they're acting through carnality, and they don't understand that. To be able to discern spiritual matter, you have to absolutely understand that is a process. Again, it doesn't just happen overnight. It is a process. You have to be taught, and you can learn that. It can be taught, okay? I teach that. Matthew 16:19, "I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So we find here that we have the authority, because God doesn't just give to one and not to, you know, in other words, everybody can partake in that. That promise was to us, to all of us that are in Him. That bless God that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Every day when I pray, three times a day when I pray, bless God, I bind things and I loose things, because I know that this promise, and I quote Matthew 16:19 many, many times, because of the fact that it's important. The power to bind and to loose what? The spirit world. You have authority over that. Where a lot of people have problems with this is they think once they bind, when they bind up Satan, then he can't, then he's done. No, he's just bound up and he will get loose. He will be bound for a season. That season could be 5 seconds. It could be 5 months. Only God knows that. But the fact of it is, you have the authority, but you've got to, under binding and loosening. I'll try to get into some things and teach on this at a later date, because it's very, very, very important that you understand that you have the power, you have the ability, and you sure have the authority through the name of the Father's Holy Son, Yeshua, to bind and to loose the spiritual world. So, I loose the angels, okay? I bind the powers of darkness. I loose the angels and send them forth to do work, work things out for me, to work things out for the organization, people in the organization. It's all part of it. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's big time. That's big time. Big time stuff right there. We are flesh and blood knocking around in a supernatural world, and we are. The powers of darkness, the powers of light, are all there in place, in operation, even in the same room you're sitting in today. And the sooner you understand that, the better off you're going to be. Okay. So it's not what you see, okay? It's what is unseen, the unseen world that's there working. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And boy, let me tell you what, a born-again, spirit-filled person does communicate with God in the supernatural or spirit realm, one and the same. Again, I've never denied that people do not, bless God, communicate with God. People, they get, the prophet thinks it's only, no, God is continually communicating with you. He first has to have a way that he communicates with you, that you understand the communication. Now, that has to happen, and folks, I'm going to tell you something, that can take years. In some cases, it never seems to really get done. But it's so important to understand that bless God, that He does want to communicate with you. But you're going to have to find out that it's not going to come the way most of the time that you think that communication is going to happen. God's God. Let's go to Numbers 11:16. "The Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there. I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Now, isn't that a deal? What did he do? He put the Spirit of Moses upon those 70. Now, full proof of the fact that it happens. Full proof of the fact that, bless God, that a reason a spirit of religion comes on so many people is because what? That person that's the leader, bless God, is forcing that spirit of religion upon the people. Because, number one, he's without knowledge. He doesn't understand that, bless God, that he doesn't know that. But the Spirit upon Moses was given to 70 people. Now listen, there was submission, okay, which is number one, and I'm not going to say utmost, but of high priority. They accepted authority. You have to accept authority. Now, number three, they worried for the benefit of the whole. In other words, they were always concerned about the people. They supported Moses fully all the days of Moses' life. Now that is one of those things that only can be dreamed of in today's organizations. Now I can tell you that the 10 that have been placed under me as under this 70 are just exactly like that. They're in full submission. They accept the authority that's given to them. They're concerned. Fast and pray over the wholeness of the whole organization, and they fully support me, and they do, and they will all the days that we walk the face of this earth. So I can see a resemblance there, a parallelization, if you will, that is working even today. And like I said, how many times, I can't tell you how many for sure organizations I've built through the years, but I have never been involved with an organization that had people like this around me. I do today. Another great sign from God that this isn't just another, oh, let's have church type of a thing. This is moving us on, moving us in, bringing us to the place where the Lord God is gonna have us. Okay, let's go to Numbers 13:26. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now remember, they were sent forth. There was 12 spies sent forth to spy out the promised land. Okay, Moses sent them out. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they brought it back to show them. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, which was the sons of the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Aramites, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Well, you know, this is quite a show here, isn't it? Caleb and Joshua was two of those 12. They got up and said real quick, or Caleb got up and said, hey, you know, he said, we can take this. We need to go up right now and possess this land. We're well able to overcome it. That was their confession, all right? Now, the other 10, they saw what they saw. What happened? Fear came upon them. Fear is what? A spirit. And bless God, then they begin to transfer that spirit to the rest of Israel. And now listen to Numbers 14:1-2. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Now, they had three things. The people of the land were stronger. The cities were walled and very great. And there were giants there. That was their confession. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You got one or two choices. You can believe God, or you can believe the situation. And we have gone over that numbers of times on the air here. And you're going to have to learn to believe God. You're going to have to learn to believe God. If God says, then bless God. That's the final authority. It's God saying. It's not your opinion. It's not what it looks like. In fact, they said we look like grasshoppers, you know, in our sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Well, but God knew. But you see, somehow or other, again, there just seems to be something about fear that caused people. Now, what did they do? They transferred that spirit of fear, those 10 men, unto the entire congregation of Israel, which is anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 million people. I realize a million is a lot of people in between, but the argument of theologians have been that way for centuries upon centuries. Nobody knows for sure how many people he had with him at that point in time. But the fact of it is, when they transferred that spirit and the people grabbed onto that spirit, what happened in that deal? Well, let me tell you what, they weren't going to go anywhere. They weren't, you know, they're saying, hey, here we are, we're here, Moses led us out here, him and Aaron, and now we're here, we can't take the land that was called our promised land, and I imagine they were doubting whether or not that was even the right land that they'd come to. And so, brought us out here just to die in the wilderness. Well, you know, that's the way people seem to be. In 14:24 Numbers, it says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb had a different spirit, didn't he? Absolutely he did. He had a different spirit. And folks, I'm going to tell you what. You know, God, again, has to have something to work with. And what did he have to work with these other people? That's the reason these people spent all those years wandering around in the wilderness. It's because, bless God, they would rather believe a bad report. They would rather let fear be transferred to them, and then they themselves become that, than to just simply to believe God's word. Do you realize that it was only all the others died off? And Joshua and Caleb was the only two with the people then that was there. But the people that were there that day all died off. Now, the families of them, evidently, that survived. But the sad thing is, they could have gone into the land. They could have taken the land. They had to take the land anyway in the long run. But the fact of it is, there was another spirit in operation. There was a spirit of, oh, we can't. There's giants in the land. Oh, we can't, because there's great walled cities. Oh, we can't, bless God, because the people in the land are stronger than we are. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If God be for us, it doesn't make any difference what or who is against us. Because God, what? Because God has ways of doing things. He can command a legion of angels to come and fight that fight. And many times, angels did fight the war, even to the point of looking to be physically fighting wars for Israel. Well, now, Joshua and Caleb, they acted in faith. What did they say? We're well able. They said, the Lord will bring us into the land. Number three, the Lord will give it to us. The giants are bread for us. They're defenseless. The Lord is with us. Do not fear. That's what they had to say. Now, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Why did they follow the decision of the ten? There's always a tendency to follow the majority that make decisions, okay? There's always has been. You know, I keep saying it was a majority that, bless God, that hung our Messiah, Yeshua, upon the tree of the Jews. It was, you know, it was a majority. Majority doesn't mean anything. Not with God and not at all. So just because the majority thinks, in fact, I've always said I'd be real, real careful about getting involved with the majority, okay? Now, this thing with Ephraim is a different thing, but I'm just saying that, bless God, there's so many people have been out here and gotten involved in stuff and then find out that it was just a, you know, whatever. Number two, they brought up an evil report. People seem to believe an evil report before they accept a good report. And boy, that's the truth. People want to hear something bad. The people are of great stature, meaning the giants. If they accept the positive report, they would have to do battle. They'd have to go to battle. Accepting negative, they did not have to do anything. A spirit of fear and unbelief was going to take over and and do them in. Now, in Joshua 2:24, it says, And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. These people received the spirit of faith and courage. And you know that, folks, there's nothing like the fact of faith and courage. Have courage. Be of good courage. There's a battle to be fought. Be able to, as my grandmother said, buck up. Be able to buck up and take on the battle. Because why? It's real. It's happening. It's happening in its own way today. With what we're doing now, we're going back to that promised land, okay? Now, are there giants in the land today? Well, it doesn't look like anybody's going to let us in. We just wrote a letter or called on the phone or showed up over there. I'm sure they just look at us and grin real big at this point in time and say, well, you know, I don't. But we are well able to take that land because we're the only ones going to be able to go back into that land and that land return back unto that like, at least unto the Garden of Eden itself, which is going to be something unparalleled in all the time of history. For that, and never was that given or promised by God since then. But this is what's going on. Now, are we able to do that, or is it going to be easier to listen to your neighbors, to your friends, huh? To the pastor of the church you once went to, and then try to tell you, oh, no, that's it. Well, that can't happen. That just can't take place. I mean, what do you mean? A little old grassroots organization like this trying to start up and all, God's going to raise that up to millions of people. And you just watch God do that. Why? Because God is well able. Okay? That's my confession. God is well able. I've said many times, I can't do this. There is nothing that I can do except just do what I'm being told to do by God. And I know that if I will be faithful to that, that's all God's looking for. Because you see, in the end, see, they had to march around out there in that wilderness all those years, and in the end, they still had to go in and take the land, didn't they? You know, but I'm going to tell you something. After that many years of wandering around, it just came right down to the point where, you know, those people probably figured it'd be just as well off if they died in battle as they died wandering around out there in that wilderness. And so they went in and took the land. Why? Because God said they could take it. And Caleb said, we are well able. We are well able to do and to take the land like God said. Now, whether you can, whether you can't, whether you will or whether you won't, those decisions become yours. But again, the majority of the people that said they cried all that night, oh, they felt so bad about the fact that they weren't going to be able to go into the land because of what the ten said. Did they even hear what Joshua and Caleb was saying? Well, they heard it, but they didn't hear it. You know, have you ever known that to be the fact? You heard, but you didn't hear. A lot of times I've told people through the years, well, you heard what I said, but you didn't hear what I said. Because it's just kind of like I'm always saying, like a Scud missile. Just whir right over their heads and down all somewhere else. But yes, we're able. You and I are able. Now, what kind of things can be transferred? If you live in a home where there's sickness, bless God and all they have talked about. You grew up in a home where people were sick and bless God, well, aunt such and such died of this and aunt and uncle, what's your name? He died of that too or something different. There becomes a spirit of sickness. Can come upon you. See, people have no idea in this world as to what happens to them because of what? You're a product of your home. If your home is a home that's had prosperity in it, you're going to prosper. Why? Because you believe in prosperity. If you come from a home that, bless God, that had to live on welfare and food stamps, I'm going to tell you something. That is a tough spirit to get off your back because of the fact that it has been there. It's transferred itself, and it will do that as many generations as it can. Why? Because that's the way darkness likes to operate. Darkness loved it when the nation of Israel decided they'd go with the ten instead of Caleb and Joshua. They loved that. Why? Because they knew what was going to happen. They knew, bless God, that when Israel come into the land and took the land and was going to take the land, they were going to be in trouble. And bless God, in the end, they were. Still are today. They may have taken a bit of a rest throughout the church age, but I'm going to tell you something. They're becoming very unrestful now because of the fact that we're not only able to go back into the land and take it, we're going to. And the old story it is, come hell or high water, that's what's going to happen. Now, if you want to come with this modern-day Moses and Elijah, that's fine. If you don't, hey, all I can tell you do is stay back here and take on the earthquakes and the hurricanes and all the flooding and the drought and all these things are going to play. You know, have at it. Just keep going around in your wilderness and see where that brings you. Because in the end, it's going to be better, bless God, that you did what? That you just flat went back into the land of our forefathers. Well, I think, too, that so many times that people, you know, they're always, I've heard people say so many times, well, you know, the reason such and such has been so successful in life is because, well, you know, his granddad had a good job, a business, and give it to his dad, and his dad passed it on to him. How many of those types of things today do you know where those things have been passed down, and the children that end up receiving from dad and grandfather, it just flat lost the business. It went straight to the ground, as they say. Well, what happens? Well, because you see that they weren't of the same spirit. Now let me try to explain that. Successful business people don't work 40 hours a week, 5 days a week. Successful business people spend whatever it takes. If it takes 12-hour days, if it takes 16-hour days, that's what they do. What is that? That was passed down to them from the generations above them because that's the way that they found that their forefathers were successful. I hope some of you are listening to what I'm saying here today. It is very important. If you come from a family that wasn't successful, it's going to be very hard for you to be successful. My father said to me one time, he said, everybody wants to have $1 million. I said, yeah. He said, you know what the problem is? I said, what's that? He said, people that's never had money don't know how to handle money and they'll squander it. And you know, that goes right along with exactly what I'm teaching you here today, is the fact that the people that's had money, they know how to take care of money. They're not foolish with the money. They know how to invest. They know what to do and when to do and how to do. And bless God, they get it done. Now you take people that don't have, what are they? They're just out here all of a sudden. Well, I got $1 million in the bank, and well, I can buy a yacht. Let's see, I can buy an airplane. I can do this over here, and I can do that over there. And then all of a sudden, they turn around and they go, wow. I thought $1 million would last forever. Well, it wouldn't like that, and it never does like that. I know that around here we had a gal that a number of years ago that won the lottery, won $1 million. And in a year's time, she had managed to squander away the $1 million and tried to commit suicide. Now, I don't know that she ever got that done. I just knew that they had reported that she had tried. Again, what is that? Well, you see, she had a different spirit upon her. It's so important to realize. Now, can you change? Can you break those spirits that have been transferred to you? Absolutely, you can. And it's important. And each of you, and I'll pray some prayer leading into that here when we get ready to end here in a few minutes. But you want to make sure that you understand. Again, you don't have to be sick. You don't have to be broke. You don't have to be depressed. Bless God, you don't have to be that way. It is the supernatural. It's the unseen world of darkness pressing in on you that's holding you back. Once you understand the truth, what will the truth do? It will make you free. It will make you free. And I'm giving you truths here today. So the bless God that you can take authority over those things. And how many times have I heard people say, well, now there's, and I'm going to use this fictitious name for this little boy, Johnny. Well, Johnny ended up just like his dad, a drunk and a no good. Now what was that about? Probably that was about somebody that's told that boy, well, you'll never amount to anything because you're just like your dad. You're going to end up being a drunk. You're going to end up being no good. And you know what Johnny ends up being? A drunk and no good. Now, folks, that'll happen 99 times out of 100, if not 100 out of 100. Because why? That spirit is being planted and it's been fed. It's been encouraged, if you will. So many times that I've heard people say those kind of things, and I said, well, you need to stop saying that. You need to break that out of that young man's life, and bless God, and begin to speak positive things over them. Because you see, you are what you say that you are, okay? A man thinketh in his heart. You think that that's the way you're going to be. Again, that scriptural proof that those things, those areas of your life, they can be broken, and they must be broken. Folks, there's no reason in this world. I've heard so many people, again, come and say, well, I just can't seem to get ahead because, our family's just never... Hey, we're not talking about your family. We're talking about you today. We're talking about where you're at. The Lord God has given to you every tool that mankind could ever even think about, and I'm sure several spiritually that, bless God, that we may never know, to not have to be what it is that, bless God, that you've been throughout most of your life or maybe all your life. You don't have to be that way. Again, you don't have to be poor. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be a bad money manager. I've sat down. We've had at times, brothers and sisters, where we've just flat had people that would sit down, counsel people, and help them make out budgets. I'm here to tell you that credit cards are not anything except to put you into further debt. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why they were allowed. Look at the billions of dollars that these executive people have stuck in their pockets with Citibank and all that kind of a thing. But the fact of it is, we didn't have to get in it. But you know what? Again, you know what spirit that is, and still is today. It's we want to keep up with the Joneses next door. Well, I can't afford a new car. But let's just go ahead and put the down payment on the Visa, the MasterCard, or whatever kind of a card, and we can pay that off. And well, come to find out, how many years go by and you're still paying on that what you thought you were going to do that. And people have financed businesses and everything else through credit cards, and that becomes a spirit, and you need to break that spirit. And I keep telling people what you need to do, bless God, if you've got to have a card, get a debit card, or you've got to have the money in the bank before you can spend it, and tear up those credit cards and get rid of them. They're not, because again, people that don't know how to manage money, you don't think Satan doesn't love that? Absolutely he loves it. Got all these, all these ifs, ands, and buts, and places, and times, and all the things that take place. I got news for you. You can come over the top of all that. You don't have to be in the position that you're in, okay? You don't have to be there. You're letting yourself be there. You break that stinking spirit of darkness that's come. Some of you can't find a job, or some of you can't find a decent job. What is that? That's a spirit. It's a spirit holding you back that's been transferred to you, or you have somehow accepted that transferal. You need to, bless God, break that out of your life. And you need to do that today in the name of Yeshua. And get yourself released to this. Get back on level ground with this thing. Instead of being two steps down below, you get on back up here and walk with the rest of us. Because I got news for you. You are a child of Almighty God. You're not the down and outer. No. You're the child of the King, brothers and sisters. And you need to realize that. You need to know that He gave to us everything that there was. He gave to us in order for us to do what? To walk in victory in every area of our lives. Well, bless God, I hope you've learned something from this. These teachings are important teachings. They're things that I'll never do, or at least don't think I'll do these in the quarterlies. So I'm really going back into some of the teachings that I've done for years that are important, and I'll keep doing those things. I've got, dear God in heaven, a room stack of the whole story of it is I've probably preached more sermons than most of you will ever had a chance to listen to in whatever means you tried to listen to. And we'll keep pulling them out, and we'll keep bringing them forth as God keeps dealing with me. Well, let's break those things out of your life right now that you know. Whatever it is, you know where you're. You know where you're living at. You just say I break this and name it. When I get finished, it's just I break that out of my life right now. It's gone, Father. Right now, through the power, the name of your holy Son Yeshua, Father. Right now, I break these stinking foul spirits of darkness that have transferred them that spirit upon my brothers and sisters in the name of Yeshua. I command it be broken. I command those spirits come out of them in the name of Yeshua and set them free right now. A spirit of poverty, a spirit of sickness, a spirit of down and out. Bless God, break everyone that's listening this day that has named that spirit and name it right now, that it be gone in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord our God, for thou art the Lord, the beginning and the end. And Lord, you have all the answers. You have all the answers, and we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that need prayer for your bodies, I want you just to place your hand in that area that you need healed. Again, we appreciate those of you that are emailing us and letting us know about how God's healing you. I realize a lot of people just flat couldn't figure out how that could happen long distance, but believe you me, you know those of you that have been healed and those of you that are about to be healed and will be healed, you know that it's more than possible. Father, right now, I break the powers of darkness that have latched on to these bodies. And Lord God, that need miracles, need to be healed in the name of your holy Son Yeshua and the stripes that he bore upon the tree. That is our healing. It was then, it is now, it will always be. And Father, I receive that on behalf of each one of these. And I command through the power of your holy anointing, that Lord God of the Ruach HaKodesh himself, to go forth, and Lord God, from the tops of their heads to the bottoms of their feet, Lord God, heal them in Yeshua's name, and let them be made free from sickness and disease. Lord God, from this, that, and everything else, especially somebody right now, I'm going to tell you something. You've been having some problems with your memory. That's over. You're going to see a great advancement in, oh my, I'm remembering things the way. Why? Because God's present. The Lord God, his presence is right there with you right now at this second. I'm always telling people, whatever you have need of, you just reach out and you take right now in the mighty name of the Father, Son, Yeshua. And Father, we thank you. We glorify you and we praise you.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Prophet Tom Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So again, you can also get more. All the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Until next week, remember, with God, all things are possible.
Asher malach v'terem kol yetzir nivra et nasa b'chefzo kol azay melech shemu nikrah